Hebrews chapter 8, let's read verses 1 through 3. Now, the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest. He's been talking about the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. A minister of the sanctuary, the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it's a necessity that this man, Christ Jesus, have somewhat also to offer. Now, these things, it cannot be dull of hearing and listen to this. But these are vital, and I hope the Lord will make it a blessing. When the Lord gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai, He gave very specific instructions, very specific in the way men and women were to worship Him. He needed three things. He needed a person, place, and thing. He needed a high priest, He needed a tabernacle, and He needed a sacrifice. And God instructed, gave specific, very meticulous instructions of who the high priest was to be, what the tabernacle was to be made of, in it, where it was located, and the sacrifice, that is, the blood of a lamb and other things, were to be brought. But God hasn't changed. One of the last things He said in the book of Malachi was, "I'm the Lord, I change not." So the way to worship God has not changed. Has not changed. That's why Paul is dealing with this. We still need these three things. God hasn't changed. We still need a high priest, and not anyone will do. We still need a place to come. We need a person, we need a place, and a thing. We need a sacrifice. Alright, look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, "These things serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things." As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. "See," he said, God said, "you make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount." The pattern. What's the pattern? Who's the pattern? These things are a shadow of someone. They cast a shadow. They're not the substance. Shadow can't do you any good. Can't do anything for anybody. It's just a shadow. Symbols and ceremonies and pictures and types and all that can't do anything for anybody. Only the real can. The person. The high priest, as you know this, the high priest, and he said back in chapter 5, chapter 3. "Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. He's the only holy man." We've been looking at this, haven't we? How that we need a holy man to go to a holy God and represent us. Someone that God will speak to. Someone that God approves of. Someone that God said, "I'll speak to this man and I'll speak to you through him." Well, we have such a one. One mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. And He said that the Father always hears Him. Everything He requests, God grants it. Whoever He represents, God accepts. That's a high priest I need. Someone whom God Almighty will absolutely at all times accept on my behalf. Jesus Christ. A tabernacle. A place. A place. Jesus Christ is our tabernacle. He is. He tabernacled among us and sacrifices. He's called the Lamb of God. Now, in summary, he says here in Hebrews 8, verse 1, he says, this is the sum. This is the sum. The sum of it all. The sum not only of Hebrews, but of the whole Old Testament. As a matter of fact, the sum of all God's will and wisdom and purpose and covenant and everything is Jesus Christ. He's the sum, He's the substance, He's all, and He's in all. He's all things we need, and He's found in all these things and in all His people. He's the fulfillment of all laws, types, symbols, shadows. All things were done away with when Jesus Christ was crucified. It's all done away with. All they did was point to Him. And when He came, don't need them anymore. He took away the first to establish the second. Himself. Himself. Faith in Him. All right. And so, that being said, that's the sum of it all. That being said, any and all religious ceremonies, any and all religious relics or objects such as holy water and robes and candles and any offices, any men, women that set themselves up as some kind of a go-between between you and God is false. It's false. It's get a little stronger than that. It's anti-Christ. Because it goes against the person and the work of Jesus Christ. If anyone sets themselves up as anything between men and God, they are anti-Christ. Is that too hard? It's not hard enough. It's not hard enough. Because it's damning. That's how serious it is. We're going to see that in a minute. One mediator. One person to pray to. One person to go to God. One sacrifice for sins. One. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And His work is finished. And anybody who does anything, it doesn't, even if they make faith a work, that goes against the work of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ said, it is finished. What do you mean, it is finished? Name something. Whatever it is finished. He's the end of the law for righteousness. To be saved, to be accepted by God, be considered holy by God, to be allowed into heaven, He's it. He's it. And to do, anybody to do anything is to go against His work. Why is this important? Why is it important that we study this and we know this? Well, because as we speak, there are millions the world over, billions, who are still going through some motions, some ceremonies, practicing some kind of form of whatever it is that they think is pleasing to God and will get them into God's favor and God's heaven. But Paul said they're going about, and they're zealous, but they're going about to establish their own righteousness. And there's only one way to be righteous with God. That's through Jesus Christ. One way. And even in our little community, you know, and I'm not picking on the German Baptists. They're no more ignorant than Free Will Baptists, Southern Baptists, or Methodists, Catholics, or whatever. But in our little community here, we see very clearly of people trying to go back to the Levitical law, trying to go back to the Old Testament law, trying to live, literally, going back and picking verses like Leviticus 19:27, how to wear your hair and so forth. That's the Levitical law. And we're going to see, well, look at it, verse 4. If Christ were on the earth, He wouldn't even be a priest. He,
He's not from Levi, John. If the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, were going to be a priest on the earth, they wouldn't allow him. He could not even be a priest. He's not from Levi. What does that tell you?
My. He's of the tribe of Judah, where Christ came from. David couldn't be a priest. David couldn't be a priest. Solomon could not be a priest. Solomon, he wasn't. Neither one of them were. My. It says in verse 6, but now he, Christ, hath obtained a more excellent ministry, far excelling. See, Moses and Aaron were Levites. They were priests, okay? Moses, too. Miriam thought she was. The Lord set her straight, didn't he? But anyway, Christ's priesthood far excelled Moses and Aaron. My. God got angry with Moses and stripped him on Mount Horeb. Stripped his clothes off and said, "You can't be a priest anymore." Got angry with him. Got angry with Moses for striking the rock the second time. Oh, the Lord's well pleased with our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. More excellent, far more excellent than or excelling Moses and Aaron and all the high priests that have ever come and gone. They're all gone. He came, but he's not gone. He ever liveth. He said, went on later in chapter 7 to say that they're all dead. He's not. Their priesthood ended. His doesn't. Never. Forever. Priest forever. After the order of Melchizedek. No beginning or end. In fact, he was the first high. Remember Melchizedek, the story of Melchizedek? He came in Genesis 14 and it says he was a priest of the Most High God. Priest? Nobody even heard of a priest. What do you mean, priest? What does it mean to be a priest? Well, here he is. Long before the law said you need a priest, here he came. Who is that? Jesus Christ. Well, he was a priest long before Genesis 14. Long before Genesis 1. Forever. No beginning of days or end of day. No father, no mother. The mediator of a, verse 6, the better covenant. Mediator of a better covenant made between him, the Father, and the Holy Spirit concerning his people. Better covenant. Verse 7 says that first covenant, if it had been faultless, then no place should have been sought for the second. There wouldn't be any need for a second if the first covenant were faultless. Now, you do understand, or I want you to understand, that there's only one covenant. There never has been but one covenant whereby human beings be saved. It's an everlasting covenant. One that God made long before the world began. We're going to see that in a minute. And all human beings that are saved, whether Old Testament, New Testament, are all saved by that one covenant. And by this one mediator of the covenant, Jesus Christ. No one's ever saved by the law. The law was not given to save anybody. You'd be surprised how many people are ignorant of this. You'd be surprised. Go to Galatians, the book of Galatians, and the books of Romans, the book of Romans, and the Galatians especially, those two books, go in great detail concerning the law, the purpose of the law, the covenant, and so on. And they clearly teach us, clearly teach the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law. Look at Galatians 2. Now this is how serious it is if a person thinks that keeping the law, any law, Ten Commandments, anything they think they do to be righteous. This is how serious it is. Galatians 2, verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. That's how serious it is. This is not a theological question. This is not a matter of doctrine. Well, you believe this, we believe that. You have your doctrine, we have ours. We all be all right. No, we won't. No, this is a matter of why Christ came. Why did Jesus Christ come? Well, number one, He came to live according to the law. Why? To show us how? To do it
for us.
For His people. To do that and then charge it, impute it, reckon it to our account. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him, by Him, through Him, by the faith of Jesus Christ. By Him faithfully keep, by His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Knowledge of what? The law. We don't know the law. We think we know the law. People that, like these folks here in our community, think they know the law, but it's a pick and choose. It's a pick and choose. I like this one. I like that one. Well, I can't keep that one. Modern, I can't live in this modern world and keep that one. So I won't do that. You know, that's, you know, well, you know, that's, let's keep this, let's keep that. Galatians 2:10 says, to offend in what not 2:10. All right, yes, 3:10. Look at this. Galatians 3:10. As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. It is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. It's James, isn't it, that said to offend in one point is to be guilty of it all. That's too strict. God said that. I didn't say that. John Calvin didn't say it. John Gill didn't say it. God did. Oh, my. My, my. Syria. Chapter 3, verse 8 says this. Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, not law, faith, preached the gospel unto Abraham. Now, Abraham was 400 years before the law. And it says, verse 6, Abraham believed God. God came to Abraham one day and said, I've chosen you. I'm calling you. You're mine. Revealed Himself to Abraham. He said, now, come out from my... And Abraham believed. How could he not? God gave him life. God revealed the truth to him. He said, I'm God. Abraham said, yes. Come out. He said, okay. He believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. God said, you're holy, righteous, unblameable, unreprovable in my sight right now. He hadn't done anything. He hadn't done anything. He hadn't kept one law. There was no law. But that's the gospel. That's, He preached the gospel. This is the gospel. It's not do, 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 do. That's law. Here's gospel. Done. Done. Christ did it. You broke it. Here's the gospel. You broke it. He fixed it. That's the good news. Why would anybody want any other thing other than that? Unless they're self-righteous. Unless they want to steal His glory. Share the glory. Want a pat on the back. Want a little crown in glory. That's the only reason. Sinners sure do love this gospel. My, my. Chapter 4, Hebrews, Galatians 4. Look at this. Oh, no, 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 no. Hold on. Chapter 3, this is the verse I wanted you to see. Verse 16 and 17. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And he saith not the seeds as of many, but as of one. To thy seed, which is Christ. You remember that story over there. When God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless everybody in you. Everybody blesses you, I'll bless. But who's He talking to? He's talking about Jesus Christ. Abraham was in Christ. Verse 17. This I say, Galatians 3:17, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ. Before who? Before Abraham. Before the law. The covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul or make the promise of no effect. What? So, there's one covenant. You hear the church, so-called churches all over the land call themselves New Covenant. Covenant, church, covenant. What covenant are you talking about? You know, really, this new covenant that he talks about, it's not new at all. It's old. Like that new river in West Virginia. They call it the new river. I don't know why they call it that, because it's the oldest river. It's the oldest river. Newly discovered. Newly revealed. New every morning. Good news. That's why it's called new. Two covenants made by God with two men. Two covenants made by God with two men. And I'm going to talk about the second one before I do the first one, okay? Adam, the first man of the earth, Adam, God said, this do and live. Here it is. You keep this, you keep yourself righteous by doing what I say, okay? What did he do? He failed miserably. By one man's disobedience, we're all made sinners. That's original sin. In Adam, all died. That's dead in sin. Born dead in sin. Totally depraved. In Adam, all died. All right? That's the second covenant. The second Adam came along. Who's that? Jesus Christ. All men are either in Adam or in the second Adam, Jesus Christ. Adam. We're born dead in Adam, made alive in Christ. If we belong to Him. If we're one of Him. Second Adam came along. God said, this do, and they will live. And that was made before the world began, because God wrote a book. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. When God Almighty, the Holy Spirit, and God the Son together made a covenant to save some of this fallen race, that Christ would be the mediator, the surety of that covenant, that God would accept all He died for, that the Holy Spirit would come and regenerate them. This was the covenant, the agreement made between the triune God before the world ever began, and they wrote a book and put all the names of every one of those people in that book, the Lamb's Book of Life. That's and sealed it. That's covenant. And Christ sealed it in His own precious blood. Ratified it with His own blood. Well, this covenant here in Hebrews, go back there to Hebrews. You've got to hurry. This covenant here in Hebrews spoken of that Israel couldn't keep. Covenant he's talking about is the law. It's the law that Israel couldn't keep. The Levitical law, the Mosaic law. It never was given to give life. The Lord never did give the law to give life, that they might keep it and God would be pleased with them or accept it, accept them. It was given, and Paul went in great detail about this in Romans, it was given to show sin. To show sin, number one. To show God's holiness. It shall be perfect to be accepted. And Paul said, the law is spiritual. Paul said, the law is spiritual. It demands perfection. God demands perfection, not just in word, but in motive, in thought. And our Lord came and says, magnify the law. He said, you've heard it said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill. I tell you, if you covet, or if you hate somebody, you've killed them. The only reason you didn't kill them is I kept you from it. You didn't have the opportunity. You didn't have a gun in your hand at the time that I kept you from. But you hated them and you wanted to kill them. I know, God said. I look on the heart. I know. Don't fool. You can't fool me. God said, I know. I examine men's hearts. And Christ magnified the law to show us that it requires absolute perfection in thought and word and deed. And people think they keep it outwardly. Our Lord said of the Pharisees, they appear to be righteous before men outwardly, but within they're full of extortion and excess. They're like graves, he said, whited sepulchres. Dead on the inside, but look real holy on the outside. God says, I see right through them. See right through them. So this law, the covenant he's speaking of, is the law that Israel and that nobody can keep. All right, now look at verse 9. You need to see this. I'm out of time. Shoot. I'm not supposed to say that, am I, Hannah? Isabel, we're teaching her not to say that. Shoot. Well, I said it. Well, she won't listen to the tape. verse 8 says, the days come, saith the Lord, and I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Who's Israel and who is Judah? Paul told us in Romans 2, he's not a Jew, which is one outward. But inwardly. Circumcision is not an outward mark, it's of the heart. Not with hands, it's by the Spirit of God. He went on to say in Romans 11 how that all Israel will be saved. He went on to say there's a remnant right now, like Judah. House of Judah was a remnant. Israel was full of just professing believers. They were lost. But there was a remnant, Judah, true worshipers. True worshiper. And even now, at this present time, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. It's the house of Judah. Spiritual Judah. Spiritual Israel. The church. New Jerusalem is the church. New Jerusalem is the church. The temple of God. Now, he said, here's the covenant, verse 9, that I will make. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. Verse 10, this is the covenant I'll make, the house of Israel, that is spiritual Israel, after those days. I will put my laws in their mind, write them in their hearts. I will be to them a people, they shall be a God, and they shall be to me a people. And not teach every man his neighbor, every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, that they'll all know me. Who taught them? Who revealed it? God did. They'll all be taught of God, Christ said. And every man that hath heard and learned of the Father does what? Goes to the law? Comes to Christ. Believes Christ. Everyone who's heard and learned of the Father, every true Jew trusts Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. They know He's their high priest, He's their tabernacle, and He's their sacrifice. Every single one. They all know they need these three, and these three are one. All of them know that, without exception. They might not be able to articulate that perfectly, but they know it. If you ask them, why will you be in heaven? They'll say, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Verse 12. Oh my, this deserves a message all by itself, doesn't it? God says, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquity. I will be merciful. I will pass over. You see, when I see the blood, I will pass over them. I'll spare them. Why? Because He spared not His Son. Because He killed His lamb. Because we have a lamb, the blood. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. What unrighteousness? Name it. Just name something. Whatever it is. All manner of sin. I'll be merciful to their sin. And He's, look at this. Not only that, I will remember it no more. Oh, my. That's the best news a sinner could possibly hear, isn't it? A full, free, complete salvation, righteousness, holiness, justification, blotted the law, the handwriting ordinance, all blotted out against everything, and all our past, present, and future. We're not done sinning yet. The worst may be yet to come. What's going to be our hope? Same as it was when He found us in the gutter. The blood of Jesus Christ. The covenants, the everlasting covenant. He said, if they sin, I'm going to deal with them, chasing them like children. But I will be merciful. Why? Because that's me. Because I am merciful, God said. I delight to show mercy. And everyone that hopes in my mercy will find it. How long? It'll endure forever. Okay, let's go home. All right.